tourists, all our best episodes start with bullying some nerds, so pick up your woke hammer and slam them right in the minis. You can forget the promise of logging off and touching grass, because in the grim darkness of online fandom, there is only war. You guys are listening to Super Despair World. This is the only podcast sanctioned by the they/themperer of humankind, and all other communications are heresy. We're going to be a little quick about our self-promo today, but Dave, why don't you tell our listeners where they can fund this little psyop of ours?
Hey, we have a Patreon. Join it or die. This is your duty to uphold the Emperor, the Empire.
We will destroy your entire fucking planet, which I guess is also our planet. But you know what? That's just what we'll do. Fund the show. The war effort needs you.
Yeah, and we got hot lady soldiers too, motherfuckers. So if you don't like that shit, you better donate a sinister $6 to the motherfucking Patreon right now.
Much more than $6 if we've argued with you and you want us to read your little novel in the comments.
Yeah, if you're gonna have a freak out in the comment section, just donate a sinister $60 and we will entertain your walls of texts.
Yeah, because, and maybe we'll even turn it into comment and into content, who knows. Okay, all right folks, today we're diving straight into the war, into the world. I can't even speak. Today we're diving into the world of Warhammer 40K and the raging front lines of the war on, I guess, having minorities in any piece of, like, fiction or media or whatever. I'm something of a tourist in this hobby myself. So today we've got a little special guest to lead us to victory. Shay, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us about what you get up to in this little hobby.
Oh, God. Hi, I'm Shay. My last name is probably doxed on Twitter somewhere. I'm a random trans woman on the internet who likes 40K, and that's a problem. Also, I guess to keep with the ongoing bit, your water is not safe from me or the rest of us.
The Emperor is coming from your water. We love the 5G towers. We love drinking the tap water. We encourage our listeners to do it as often as possible. And, you know, if you guys want to join our listeners, you can be one of our good girls in the Discord. So come check that out. We've got a real mess of a situation to dive into today. This has been a whole ongoing thing on Twitter for the past like two weeks or so, I want to say. We usually don't get super topical, but you know, this is a whole ongoing thing. So I thought let's unpack the whole mess going on in the 40K fandom with some recent news. I thought we'd maybe start with I guess the big point of contention, right? At least I think I'll identify this as the first thing that people got really upset about. So it seems like there was this situation where there's this account on Twitter, Cerberus XT, and all this seemed to kick off when they posted a bunch of like Warhammer minis they did. They painted in the colors of like the pride flags. I'll share it with you guys on our little group chat here. Maybe we'll pull that up on screen. And it's just like, I guess this got a lot of outrage because it was featured in like an official Warhammer magazine or something. And then, I don't know, maybe you could expand on the situation for us, Shay. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah, Cerberus is actually just, he's an excellent Warhammer painter from France. He's been doing a series, and he talked about why he did it in that article. I actually got the White Dwarf issue today. He basically just, I think it was somebody gifted him a Tyranid model, which, if you don't know what that is, it's, imagine the alien, the Xenobite from Alien, and you pretty much have the gist of what it looks like. And he wanted to screw around with templates, color palettes, so he just did it in a trans pride flag colors. And it sort of just kicked off a thing that he's been doing where he's been attempting to take the color palette of Pride colors and turn them into a cohesive paint scheme for a series of Pride minis, because, I mean, he himself is bisexual, and he's kind of been in the same boat that the rest of us who actually like 40k have been in, where we're just kind of really tired of the weirder part of the people who claim to be in the community. And this is just a nice little thing that he did as a general, I guess he's a just general pro-queer stance. And they're beautiful minis. Like,
yeah, I'm looking over these right now. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I don't really collect minis myself. I'm pretty broke. I try to live within my means, which is like maybe like $100 a month or something like that. But you know, just looking at these, like, I think honestly, this is a pretty sick paint job. I love some of these in particular. I love the one with the bear flag. Those are some great colors on there. I love the non-binary one. Mm-hmm. Even the, you know, whatever people say about the straight ally flag, that one's pretty cool. I love the black and white and the rainbow color scheme on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sick, and it just seems like wild to me that like people would get like really upset about like what color of paint somebody would choose to paint these little figurines like on their own time and just like post it on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah, flags aside, these color schemes are dope and just very tastefully done painting. Like this fucking rules.
Yeah.
I look at the one like right up front in the middle on the really like elaborate color scheme on the big banner it's holding, and like, god damn, that looks like, I don't know, like, I'm not an expert on painting minis, but that looks like a lot of really, really laborious work.
Oh yeah, and it's also, it's the crazier thing about all of this is that most of these minis, like, they're about as tall as your thumb. So there's a lot of really, really tiny detail that's having to be put into it. Like Cerberus is a professional painter, and this is, he just does incredible stuff.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do on YouTube sometimes is I'll look up channels of people like doing like, I guess, artisanal work. This one guy, I don't remember his channel name, so I won't shout him out, but he like repairs old technology. He'll take some like shitty like Game Boy Color that was like found in a dumpster or something and just like take it apart and clean every piece and put it back together. And I just love watching that sort of thing. Like, sometimes I'll watch people just like quietly paint minis while like talking on a live stream or something. Mm-hmm. Like, they have these like tiny little brushes, and I'm like, god damn, this is really elaborate. I honestly think my own hands might be a little too twitchy from all the caffeine I drink to handle such delicate tools. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is rad as shit. It just seems wild to me that people are like really upset about this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing of it is also like, there's nobody, so I don't know if like how much you've dug into the responses that people have had to those getting upset about this or some of the other stuff that we're going to talk about.
It has plastered all over my timeline for like past week, because I'll like two or three posts about it, and then Twitter's like, oh, this is your obsession, right? You want to see nothing but this for the next week, right? And I'm like, okay, that's a bit much, but
yeah.
Nevertheless, it's been, I guess, a good involuntary research for this episode.
Oh yeah. But anyways, a lot of this hate for the stuff that GW is doing, the stuff that people like Cerberus do with their own minis, it doesn't really come from inside the actual 40k community. And like, yeah, a lot of these people are upset, you know, they're in the hobby and they play it. But if you go to like any actual events, pretty much in any store or especially events that are run by Games Workshop themselves, the people who put out 40k, there's none of this shit. Like I'm kind of a very visibly trans person, you know, I go to events and I get absolutely no flack from anybody, and it's the same, just everybody's talking about the hobby, everybody's like, like, there's this thing that happens at events that, like, everybody's going around looking at everybody's models like it's a car show. And, you know, it's, we're all just excited about that. Nobody who's, like, deep into the hobby gives a shit about this kind of getting angry about this stuff.
Hold up a second there, Shay. Are you suggesting to me that these people don't go outside to, like, real events to interact with other people?
I mean, it's not what? Like they, it's not like what? They don't, but like it's kind of a weird thing to dismiss, like, all of this is just like, oh, it's only on Twitter, because, you know, like, Twitter's used by people, they're not bots that are doing this, at least not all of them.
Absolutely. But, like, this is a good example of this that I want to bring up. So I'm not in the like the card game scene. I never played like Magic the Gathering or something, but mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners probably know internet grifter dumbass the Quartering. That guy, he's like a big right wing like mm-hmm. culture war grifter guy, and I'm pretty sure he got his start as like he got a lot of like notoriety for being like kicked out of basically like every official Magic the Gathering thing just for being like a huge dickhead to other people. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I guess these people do go out sometimes, but like the more respectable fandoms and like event organizers and stuff will usually do a pretty good job of like weeding these sort of people like out of their community. Oh, yeah. like a lot of episodes back, our first guest episode where we talked to Trashbins about the furry fandom and how like a lot of the conventions there will have like fucking little background checks where some people are just straight up not welcome, and like you kind of have mm-hmm. to do that to weed certain people like out of your hobby spaces, you know.
Oh yeah, there's so many of that with 40K, and one in particular was a person who considered himself like a lore tuber for 40K. A guy who was
gonna bring up.
Yeah, he was going by the name Arch Warhammer, and he was such a dick that GW has sent a cease and desist to him. It's like, you will not use our name in any of the branding for the stuff that you do. We are not associated with you, and there's evidence now of GW going to their partners in any project that they're doing, and they're saying like, hey, if we hear that you ever work with this guy, the partnership's over. We don't want to be associated with this at all.
That is so fucking badass.
Like, take our name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, more people need to start, more organizations need to start doing that. Because it's not, like, it makes you look bad, if nothing else. And like, why do you want to be the center of this mm-hmm. dumbass controversy?
Yeah, Arch Warhammer, or I guess just Arch now because, you know, of the whole situation. So Arch is like just like a really funny dude. I haven't like ever watched him like closely or anything, but like I'm aware of who he is. I've heard him talk, and he's like, it's just really comical. He's like this like Swedish guy, but he tries to put on this really like, ooh, I'm so sophisticated and British, and I narrate yeah. things in a upper class sort of way. It's just like the most like bullshit fake accent ever. Like, I don't know. It's like people like this should be so shoved into lockers.
He does the unironic foppish R roll that no British person alive actually does. Like, that's something from like British TV. It doesn't exist, but he just does that.
Yeah, for real, Arch is like the voice I would put on for like a background character who dies in 5 minutes in a D&D game.
Oh yeah, no, he would be like in 40K, he would be like the worst commissar, just incredibly enthusiastic to be there, and he dies in the first charge. That's his arc. He fits that character to a T.
Yeah, as we're talking just now, I googled Arch Warhammer Swedish just to make sure, because I'm pretty sure he was Swedish or something, and I go to the images, and I think the third picture I see is, I don't know if he's throwing up like a Nazi salute or something, but it kind of looks like that, and it wouldn't be out of character, so that's really funny.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's been a... Oh god, there's like greatest hits of him on YouTube. That one of the most infamous things, and I think this is what actually caused GW to cut ties like indefinitely, because I have to imagine that around the GW offices is like, can you believe this crazy shit? He made a lore video where he just casually refers to an entire playable race in the game as oh god, I don't even know if I can allude to it, but it's a very historically significant turn of phrase for black slaves in North America.
Oh god, I can only imagine.
And
I'm also aware he has like this like really pretentious like avatar of like, I don't know if this is like AI generated or if he paid somebody or something.
Yes!
He's like leaning over the book, and he's like a bearded guy, and like I guess
they all do this, and I love them so much.
Yeah, for real. I don't know if we'll elaborate a ton on this. I know last episode we talked about AI art and bullshit. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up, but we didn't last episode, is how one of the cool things about AI art is that it's really given us like an unparalleled like glimpse into like the imaginary landscape that just like the mind of right wingers and how they see themselves and how they see other people finally like put to an image. And man, sometimes it's just like really enlightening.
they see themselves.
This is totally me. That's totally me. I am a big strong man.
Oh god.
I'm looking through tomes of research. Yes. I must save humanity.
I'm looking through tomes of research and not reading a Wikipedia article that I will turn into a video.
No, don't look. The book isn't blank. Don't write in the newspaper. The book was blank.
Yeah, the dude in the background looking at him is like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm doing my own research, sweaty.
Yeah.
Try it once or twice."
I'm
conducting my clerical studies into the hobby. Ooh, seems like there are no women mentioned in this lexicon.
Oh god.
Looked through the tomes of past and there were no women soldiers in here, so I'm very pissed.
All right, settle down, Jordan.
I need
another handful of benzos.
That's the shame of a lot of this outcry, is that one of the coolest things about 40K is that it really leans in heavily into a phrase that comes from another piece of media, that when it comes to their canon, and all of their designers since the 1980s have been saying this, because they kind of recognized very quickly that the nature of their product was that it couldn't have a rigid canon going forward. It was going to change. Like, these people already had years and years of doing Warhammer Fantasy under their belt, so that when they were going to do the sci-fi equivalent of it, and that's what 40K is, they were like, we cannot, like, do the same mistakes that we've been doing. So they really lean heavily into this phrase that it's like, everything is real, especially the lies. And that's like the main conceit for the whole story of 40K.
I know just in 40K alone, there's something like at least a couple hundred, it's in the three digits, like a couple hundred novels by so many different authors. And it's like, there's no way that it can all be canon. It's not like Games Workshop has like some like canon lore officer guy who like just knows every single thing. It's gonna, like a lot of authors have their own takes on things. Like I'm really used to this, in my own big hobby and like tabletop RPGs and D&D and stuff. There's no like official canon, right? Like everybody has their own thing going on at the table, and even the books themselves are like, hey, use the parts you like, ignore the parts you don't, make it your own thing. And I know with war gaming it's a little different than that, because there isn't necessarily the whole like role-playing aspect of it, but people like make their own armies, they come up with their own things, and it's like,
yeah,
it's not really a big deal as far as I know.
It can be. There's a way that you can play a war game. So a funny thing about 40K is that it initially started as almost like a hybrid game. Because back in the 1980s, like, everybody wanted to copy D&D somehow. So I bought a copy of like the first edition, back when the game was called Rogue Trader. Somebody's going to yell at me over this. Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader, because they had so many IPs that they had to tack like seven names onto the game to make it distinct. But it started as a hybrid like role-playing slash war game. So you could kind of do a little bit of both, but it did sort of, along with Warhammer Fantasy, start the blueprint for a lot of war games. And there's still ways to play it narratively. It's just mostly focused around, rolling dice and killing small dudes in a plastic form.
Yeah, for sure. I think, all right, I think maybe to move things along, the point I kind of wanted to get at here was, like, I guess the next piece of big news that's responsible for like the current kerfuffle in the fandom is They recently announced, so there's like a there's all these different like factions and armies and things, and one of them, the custodians, the like the personal guard of the emperor himself or something, they used to be like just men or something like that, and recently Games Workshop revealed that some of those guys can be women now, and I guess people are really upset about this, and like I've heard something about like they revealed it like in a tweet or something, but maybe something else was leaked. You probably know more about this than I do, Shay. So maybe let's unpack that.
Oh yeah. Okay. So there's been a lot of strange messaging from GW over the past few years. Like I've been familiar with stuff about 40K for years and years until I actually got into the miniatures game in 2022, but they started like signaling a few, I guess you could call them progressive changes that they wanted to do. I think they just wanted to make the game more appealing because company will want money, but people thought that there was going to be like some kind of change in that vein, and they announced. They partner with several people, kind of like video game publishers will have like release copies of their games. So they have like release copies of their faction codices, which is all the rules for your faction in the new edition of the game. And there was it also comes with some lore bits, you know, it gives you some fun stories to type you up about the faction you just bought. And one of them was talking about a female custodian. And there's some speculation for a while about it. The group that leaked it is I want to say it was a Spanish-speaking, specifically, 40K media outlet. So there was a lot of confusion, like maybe this is a translation error. Maybe they're talking about the Sisters of Silence, which are kind of like a sub-sub faction within the Custodians. They're basically dumbed down a lot. They help out the big golden boys in armor. But then eventually the codex fully released, and it's like, no, there's just female custodians now. And they retconned it, as GW has retconned a lot of things over the years, and they just said, it's like, no, we've decided that we want to now make a truth about the setting that there have always been female custodians, and it fits a little bit more with their lore, because they were always like the proto space marines. Like each single one of them is worth like 10 of the poster boys, but they're not, they don't have any of like the weird lore baggage that space marines have that make them all male. So GW is like, fuck it, we'll just femme studies.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people talk about how like there was like some interview with some like Games Workshop guy a long time ago, and they was like, yeah, it was never really explicit, like, they are all men, or, like, they can't be women, mm-hmm. and, like, they apparently wanted to do something like this, like, many years ago, but, like, somebody at, like, some exec at the company was like, no, the factory was like, we already made the mold, they're men, mm-hmm. just deal with it, we're not making an additional mold, we already invested the money, you know, and it's like, yeah. Okay, like, at the heart of all these things is just, like... just like a very like mundane business decision, I suppose.
So. Oh yeah, you can look back to the history of like even since the 80s, like there's a couple of models that released for Rogue Trader that looked like female space marines, but they weren't labeled anything and they never really wanted to print. They're just in an edition. I think they were only shown in an issue of White Dwarf. And, you know, people use that as evidence of, like, were there or were there not female space marines, but the real story is just, it was an idea that was hanging around at the time, but it never went into print because, yeah, the model, the mini wars were very much a thing in the 1980s. They were still fighting Battletech to who's going to buy up all these companies to make better and better miniatures, and they didn't have, like... the resources to throw around to it, even if it was an idea that was prevalent at the time.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned Battletech. I know next to nothing about it. I know it's like some like mecha video game war gaming thing. I have a friend, another trans woman, who funny enough, she's very into Battletech, and she was telling me, mm-hmm. we were looking at like the whole like Warhammer situation, and she was telling me about how like all these like right winger dudes are apparently trying to move on to like the BattleTech fandom or like the Helldivers fandom right now, and they're just like, oh, it's even more woke and progressive in there or something. Which, you know, I know nothing about BattleTech, so I'm not gonna confirm or deny. But it's really funny seeing these guys just like try to scramble to a new thing just to realize like, oh, they're not actually wanted anywhere.
No, I think even recently a lot of them wanted to go to Bolt Action, which is like a World War II historical game, and even that community is like, can we not?
Even the World War II game, oh man, like you would think that's probably the last place to go. Every time I'm online and I see somebody who's like, I'm passionate about history. I'm very interested in the 20th century. It's like immediate red flags for me.
Yeah. It's either World War II people or Civil War people who are just like, yeah, I'm really passionate about history. And then you dig really deep and it's like, what alternate history? What if things were different?
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
And then you look into the specific ways it's different. And it's what if the racist won?
Yeah, it's the most tragic Henry Turtledove fan.
Yeah, all the Civil War enthusiast guys will just hit you out of nowhere with those like fucking 17th century slurs that you haven't ever heard in your life.
Oh yeah, followed with like a picture of Tsar Nicholas, and it's like, who are you?
I just think back to like that like recorded video of like a notorious Nazi Richard Spencer screaming at like Charlottesville about some like slur related to like the percentage of blood you have in you or something. It's like, wow, this guy's like really losing his mind.
Yeah, wait, shit, what is like,
can we even say it? I don't know. Well, maybe we'll censor it out if it's a problem. I think he said like octo runes or something.
Yes, octo.
Like,
yeah,
like if you're like one
that's so outdated. I think it's totally fine to say, but like it's such a ridiculous word on top of it. It's just like, imagine like you are an octo rune. I've looked at your genealogy charts.
The thing is, that wasn't like a thing. That wasn't like a thing he chose to have filmed. That was somebody like recording him while he was just having like an actual meltdown. So it's like, oh, this isn't even a performative thing. This is just like, that's the vocabulary he defaults to.
I don't even think historically, and I could be wrong about this, but like, I don't even think that was a slur. I think it was just like a categorization of certain people, probably when they were doing like census charts on like fucking sugarcane farms or some shit.
Yeah, it's a really it's weird. So
if you're like unironically using that word in the fucking 21st century, like Jesus Christ, man, fucking log off. Like,
yeah, I think it's one of those words. Like, I don't know if it's explicitly a slur, but it's definitely like weird to say. Like nowadays, like when we talk about trans people, very, very few people will use the word transsexual to the point where sometimes if I hear the word transsexual, I'll be like, what do you think about non-binary people? What are you hiding? You have something weird, probably.
Yeah, that alone becomes its own red flag.
She's a transsexual, Jerry. She's a transsexual.
Yeah, it's whack. Yeah, so either way, to bring things back a little bit, it seems like this is basically like the norm for how Games Workshop seems to just introduce new things. Like they'll just it's just easier to go, oh yeah, this is just how it's always been in the lore. It's just a retcon. It's just the new thing now. We're just going forward with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I mean, just personally, I don't really understand the obsession with lore. And it usually always ends up being a thing that people are incredibly passionate about. Only in the narrative of this shit, when it comes to like women or minorities being in a game or a movie or a TV show based on one of these things, and it's just like suddenly they give a fucking shit about lore. Suddenly lore is like the most important thing to these people. And it's like, do you really care that much about lore, or is it just like there's things in this game or movie or whatever that bother you, and now you need to post hoc create some sort of narrative about why? It's not because you're a fucking asshole. It's because I just care about the sanctity of this IP so much.
Yeah. It's, oh man, imagine caring about the sanctity of an IP that has so many of the weird stuff. Imagine caring about the sanctity of an IP that's just like this group of people. murderous plants, but they look like orcs. Also, their hair is a separate animal. It's like, yeah, there's so many weird things.
One of my favorite things in 40K is that the orcs are just like British, like they're just like British people, like they talk like what do you call them? The fucking like British hooligans.
They're soccer hooligans. Chavs.
Yeah. The orcs in 40K just they talk like chavs. It's funny as hell to me.
And yet...
like, I like that because we need to start, like because in a lot of other IPs like orcs have, there's always the criticism that like orcs are like black coded and all of this type of shit, but if that's true, that's a bit problematic when it's like orcs are bloodthirsty and strong or some shit like that. But like, no, it's way more accurate to say like the stereotype of an orc, it's a guy from like from Devon.
Mm-hmm.
On the British Isles, because they actually are bloodthirsty and dumb and strong.
The archetype of the orc is expressed more by that guy who wants to fight you at 1 a.m. when you're leaving the bar with your friends. It's like, that's what the orcs are.
Which is a British hooligan, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, like some big like balding alcoholic British guy in his like 50s who just like picks fights with like women and minorities.
Yeah, the guy who's had like 35 pints of the cheapest beer. That is the guy who's gonna fuck with you. It's not gonna be some minority.
Come on,
group.
England,
they're gonna be hanging out.
Go some fucking goals.
I'm fucking orc, mate. Yo, you having a look at me, mate? I'm a fucking
Hey,
you like fucking Liverpool, or should I fuck you up, mate?
It's like the 2-minute hate against the British.
Yeah, well, we come bringing the heat every episode. if it's not the nerds, it's the British. Well, we're coming for you, Britain. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe the British people have been through enough troubles lately.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't say troubles. Fuck, that's the other. That's all right. Well,
that's very specific. To get away from that tragic topic, I do want to say that the funniest thing about the orcs is that they might be one of the most consequential groups in the setting, because they have the capacity to, if they believe something hard enough, it just becomes true. They have like individual, it's almost like cults, but they're different clans. So there's one that's like, they believe wholeheartedly that if you paint something red, it goes faster, and it does.
So they're like crystal moms.
But it works.
But real. But real.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
In fact, I mean,
that's cool, though.
I think I first heard about that when it was like, who is it? Was it like Oprah who was plugging like the wish or something like that? The intention, I don't know, something about that where it's like, yeah, if you just believe you'll be a millionaire, then eventually money will come to you, which is, I guess, not how it works. And I don't know, maybe a lot of the nerds in the fandom try to operate the same way, like, if we just keep making Chud Hammer memes, then maybe all the women will go away. And like,
yeah,
no.
it doesn't work, because I've been wishing for the last few months that this podcast doesn't suck, and it still does.
Oh, see, well, I've actually been wishing that it does, so maybe.
Oh, stop doing that! You're canceling out my wish.
Yeah, well, you know, I have the minority points. My wish comes true first.
You're afraid of success. You're afraid.
Get in line, tourist.
Whoever's praying for my downfall, please stop.
Yeah, or like, I think back to, what is it, the classic tweet, like, please stop praying for my grandpa, he's become too powerful. Yeah, either way, which way should we take things? I was going to talk a little bit about the lore, and it seems weird to me that, like, first of all, talking about like quote unquote lore guys, it seems to me like there's a big crowd of people, and this isn't just limited to like right wing like nerd fandom spaces, but it does have a big overlap with them, of like people who only seem to like engage with like literature and media through the lens of like being able to read like summaries of things on wikis. Like I see a lot of people who have like quote unquote video essay channels on YouTube where like 95% of the video is them just like summarizing the plot from a wiki page. And then the last 5% is like commentary where they'll go like, oh yeah, it's pretty cool. I think that's, wow, that's really dark. Or, oh, that's an interesting thing they did. Anyway, subscribe to my Patreon. It's like, wow, yeah. I don't know. Some people just seem to have like a very like shallow like relationship with like the media and like stories and narratives and stuff they consume.
765,000 followers. And a HelloFresh sponsorship. That's what that gets you. That's what that level of analysis gets you on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for real. There's so much of that, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like some of these Warhammer guys are just like, they kind of, it's like they're obsessed with what they consider to be canon, because I guess they see it as like a company like validating their own tastes or something. Where like, I say this as like a queer person. There's lots of media I like that doesn't really feature much representation at all. Mm-hmm. And every time I see other people who like it on Twitter or something, they'll just be like, yeah, I've just decided this character is trans. I don't care what the canon is. I'll just post about it and make fan art and stuff. And like, that's just, I don't know, to me, that just seems like the way to be. I don't know why, if you have like your own dumb, shitty interpretation of what you'd like Warhammer 40K to be, I don't know why you can't just like do that yourself. It's like you need to like kick other people out of the hobby. You need to like take all the toys, put them in your own bucket, and like only have the company like acknowledge you and nobody else. I don't know, it's just a weird impulse to me.
Well, yeah, the thing of it is that the people who engage with the lore in a healthy way, they're already sort of just doing their own thing, and they've been doing it for years and years. Like I didn't get into the miniatures part of the game for the longest time because I kind of didn't really like the way that they looked. And then like late 2022 they released the new line for like the Imperial Guard faction, which is basically just army dudes, but they looked so nice. So it's like, you know what, maybe I have some expendable income, I should try this, and my boyfriend's really interested in it, so I've always wanted to try it, let's do it. And you come up with like, you know, if you get really invested, these people are already coming up with their own stories for their models. And, you know, you go to events and people ask, like, oh, why'd you do them like this? And you exchange ideas, and it's people enjoy that. The people who get, like, really, really angry about lore, and the people who get angry about this in general, and I don't want to, like, sound too dismissive, just because that ends up torpedoing your own argument, but so many of these people, like I've had one-on-one conversations with a lot of these people who get upset, and like as soon as they realize that I'm not just there to shit on them, like I'm actually listening to them, but still I disagree and I'm hitting back on all the stuff they say, it becomes therapy. These are broken people.
Nobody who gets like viscerally mad about this stuff is like doing okay in life. Like I wish I had just like the ability to just get an image of like what does the person I'm arguing with look like on the other side of the screen, on the other side of the screen. And it's like, I'm not gonna attack anybody for their appearance or something. Like people look like whatever they'll look like. But you know, I just imagine a lot of these people are like, they probably don't have a lot of like close relationships in real life. Maybe they'll go like weeks or something without showering or whatever because they don't have any like real life obligations to like maintain, or maybe they just like, I don't know, maybe they're just really depressed or something. And it's just like you can try to like argue the actual points. You can try to take them seriously and have like a back and forth discussion about the lore, quote unquote, like to whatever extent it matters. But like at the end of the day, they're not actually here to like win an argument. It's like it's all just like anger and noise, like for its own sake, you know. You know.
That's a really good take on both your ends, because like you can extrapolate this, not to get too philosophical about this shit, but like you could extrapolate that to so much like problematic discourse online and elsewhere in general. Is just like, it's not about that. It's not really about that. It's not about like Dude, talk about like incels and shit, and they're worried about like statistics about like Tinder and Stacey's fucking chat. Like, nobody really cares about any of this shit. People are pissed off, and I think we talked about this in a previous episode. But like, people are pissed off. They don't know what they're pissed off at, so they just find the closest thing to get mad about. And you could see this when just like you see people with like anger issues or just somebody's having a bad day and they just snap at someone. Mm-hmm. It's they're not mad at you, they're not mad at the fucking dog, they're not mad at their mom or whatever, they're pissed off in general. They find the closest thing and then they freak out about it. But yeah, some people just can't let it go.
Like, yeah, I think actually one of the best examples of this probably is if you look at the current day, like the TERF movement, right? All of these people, like if you dig into it, they're like some of the most like sad, lonely people on earth. Like there are people like notorious like transphobe from Twitter, fucking Glinner, the guy who did like the IT crowd and like Father Ted on ABC or whatever. He is like his wife and kids have left him. His entire life is down the drain. Like he is like thrown away everything just to like yell at trans people on the internet. And like it doesn't stop. Like I've looked into some like online forum. It wasn't Mumsnet specifically, but it was some like online forum for like TERFs to like bitch about how their kids don't like them or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, all these people, they have like a broken family life. They're just awful and nasty for like whatever reasons. And they think the world is out to get them because people are like, wow, you seem really awful and nasty. I'm going to go over here and not talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, I suspect, obviously, I think TERFs are much, much worse than like guys who are like rage posting about 40K on the internet or something. Although there's definitely some overlap in those.
It's all tangential, but, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. No, like, there's a...
It's all the same, like, reactionary anger that's rooted
at the
in
core.
All of this.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same, like, psychological response to these things. It's kind of like when we did the episode on, like, child free and shit like that. It's like a lot of these people.
One.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We went into that, like, dog free was hilarious, but then we went into child free and it was a bunch of people who, like, couldn't have kids, so their way to cope with this, other than the, just, you know, having a healthy like, hey, this didn't work out for me, but here's how I can live my life in a positive way, is just like, people who have children are pieces of shit and I'm fucking angry about it. It's like,
why Jesus. Do they get to be happy?
Yeah, right. And you see this with all of these like anti whatever movements, is it's not there's not some sort of like logic, as much as they think it's some logical response to something. It's like, no, it's as usual, it's a post hoc response to something that they're pissed off about that they feel bad about internally. And doing some sort of work for yourself, that's way too much work. I have to externalize that. And then I'll put a little bit of Reddit logic on top of it. Of like, no, I'm not racist. I actually just care about history and lore.
Yeah. I'm just really concerned about the replacement rate of certain demographics in the United States.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about these statistics.
I'm just asking some questions. I just care about the future of humanity. I just want us to be an
I'm not allowed to ask questions? Not allowed to ask questions? I'm sorry. I thought this was a place for logical debate.
It's just like, yeah, you could try to take them seriously and argue that with them about this stuff, but like, that's not actually the point. Like, I don't know, they're just here to get people mad. They don't actually care about the lore. And like, a good example of this is like in this like current ongoing Warhammer thing, it's like I hear some of them will say something like, it's not that I don't like women, it's that I don't like that they revealed this so lazily. I don't like that they just changed this in a tweet or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's go through the hypothetical here. Let's imagine a different scenario where like they really hyped this up in the media or something. They wrote books about it. They made a bunch of merch. They really promoted it. They really did a big lead into this, and then suddenly reveal female custodians. Here you go. These same guys would still be mad. That's not what they actually care
That's
about.
The thing. If this was a piece of IP, this was a completely separate Warhammer 50K. This is a completely different universe, but it's kind of like tangential to 40K. And then there was like Asians and black people and women in there. They'd be like, oh, Hollywood's woke. Hollywood's woke again. They don't give a shit about fucking lore, dude.
It happens so often. And there's always like, there's never like a, I love that they're kind of incapable of like policing their own narrative, because like there's always like so many different ways that they engage with the argument that it ends up kind of showing their hand. And it's also always like for every like one person who like maybe like kept it in their pants and wasn't transphobic in that comment, I get like six or a dozen others that are just explicitly just, there's no longer an argument, they're just talking about my identity. I saw one guy today who his argument for it was, oh, well, there was already it was some argument somebody else in my replies, and unfortunately I got notifications about it. He was just going with the idea of, it's like, no, I don't like the idea of, I don't hate the idea of women being in a thing. It's just they were already there. They were the Sisters of Silence, which is a group subservient to the faction that just got women. So it's like, oh, well, that tells a lot about you. You were perfectly fine when they were below you. Like, that's what you're telling us. Like, regardless of whatever happens in the lore and how badass the Sister of Silence actually are, it's still like, if we're talking about these are people who are playing a game for fun, you want the story to be, okay, I'm cool with boobs in it, but it can't be in a position equal or above me. And it's very, very weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up, because like there's a big dichotomy between the guys who are like just asking questions, who can just like keep it in their pants and pretend to have real concerns. And then I look at somebody else. I look at I'm glad you brought this up, because this relates to something I saw from Notorious, like, villain of the week of Super Despair World, our boy Stone Toss. He did a little comic about this, which I'll link to you guys, which is like, oh, it's just straight into an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory about like, no, you see, Games Workshop is doing this because the Jews told them to put women in positions of power or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure Stone Toss cares so much about the 40K lore. I'm sure he's so concerned about the sanctity of this game. Yeah, glad he weighed in on this one. Glad he weighed in on this one.
My favorite response to this has been from the quartering, and I wanted to talk about it when you first brought him up, but
let's go.
I haven't heard
about this fucker in a while.
Oh god, you should watch his video that he made about this, because it is the most blatant, I'm just here for the views coverage of this, because like,
I mean,
you know,
that's been his content for like 3 years.
Oh, we're but it's so funny.
Who like his wife like went out to get pizza by herself, and he was like pissing on the floor of the basement, like drunk on stream or something. Like, we're not talking about a guy who has his shit together.
But we're talking about a real individual right here.
But it does show like how kind of astroturfed a lot of this shit is. Because like both of you, you know, you were saying that you don't know a whole lot about the setting, but you're still like, you know. It's clear that you like looked into a little bit to figure out what this was about.
I have a casual relationship.
I have a tangential. Yeah, I know about the Space Marines. I know about the orcs. Mm-hmm. I know a few things. It looks like a cool game.
Like I've been tempted to buy the space. The Rogue Trader RPG that came out a while ago, but I'm also kind of broke right now. And there's like a lot of games coming out this summer, but. You know, I have an interest with this stuff. It's like when I'm hanging out with like my D&D friends, sometimes we'll just get on a tangent talking about 40K for like 40 minutes, when I'll be like, well, I've never even spent money on this hobby, and yet some people think that I'm like some nefarious force here to like control the market or something. Like, I don't even spend money. I don't know what you guys are mad about. Like, I'm as tangential to this shit as it gets. If people want to think of me as a tourist, and then like, you know, so be it. But you know, like, tourists, for whatever it's worth, they spend money in the places they go, you know.
Jeremy, the fucking quivering. His video about it was just, he was reading a news article, and he read it, and every word was the same affect, and he could not, to save his life, pronounce any of the, like, in-universe terms that he was saying correctly. I think he found, like, 7 different ways to say the faction Adeptus Custodes.
Like, oh, dude, I love
it. Was
the
so great.
Adeptus A-starts.
I think at one point he just called them the Custodes, and I was like... It's there's just...
Yeah, he's so deep into this fandom, like, yeah, it's a passion. You guys don't understand, he's just really passionate. Well, about
deeply invested.
A pronunciation guide from one of those, like, Roman statue bust guys on Twitter. I'm sure they would know how to say all this.
Yeah, they tell him how to say it in ancient Latin.
Then you hit up one of those guys to be like, how do I pronounce this? And then they'll call you a degenerate for playing with, like, toy soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real mess. And I guess this is a good, like, a good transition point into, like, the last part of this. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the economics behind this. Like some people will say, okay, Games Workshop is just doing this, like, for money or something. Oh, it's just like a cheap cash grab to appeal to, like, progressive people or whatever. And I just thought maybe we could, like, have a little discourse about that. Like, to what extent do we need to give, like, Games Workshop credit for, like, doing something positive and progressive here versus, like, is there a point to be had about, like, no, this is just, like, a cynical money thing? Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, it could be both. There's, the way that GW works is that it works like any AAA gaming, anything. You find this in video games, you find this in print tabletop, any aspect of gaming. There are the people who make the thing, and there are the money people, especially for AAA. Obviously, I believe GW recently went to being a publicly traded company, so they now have, like, obviously, oh god, what's the term for it? Fiduciary
responsibility. Responsibility to shareholders. Fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah. So they have to keep making money, and but it's very clear that, you know, if you talk to people who are, like, GW alumni, that they really enjoy the things that they've made over the years, and they have such, like, fond memories of this. At the very least, even if they didn't like GW the company, they love the stuff that they got to work with and the people that they worked with. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this, like, in my own hobby. Like I said, I'm big into tabletop RPGs. I'm kind of whatever when it comes to, like, Dungeons and Dragons specifically. I think, you know, D&D is fine. I like D&D. I don't love D&D, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of people who, like, I think every company, like Wizards of the Coast, right? They own D&D, they own Magic the Gathering, whatever. I think total scumbag company. We're talking about people who sent the actual fucking real ass Pinkertons after some guy who got his hands on, like, a set of Magic the Gathering cards.
Hilarious. Return to tradition, baby. Let's get the Pinkertons after somebody.
Yeah, just completely fucked up. Fuck Wizards of the Coast. I hate them. I just think they're just awful pieces of shit. Yeah, but, like, that's all, like, the money side, the executive, like, we just gotta make more profits this quarter or something. But I know realistically, like, within Wizards of the Coast, obviously there are the creative people who are actually putting the work in. And I fully believe, yeah, some of those people are, like, just sincerely, they want to make the hobby more welcoming, more progressive. They want to do better with the fiction. You know, there's people like that in every creative company, I think.
Oh yeah. There's also been specifically 240K, and I wish I could remember the names of these people off the top of my head. I think there's one guy, for some reason, no, Stephen Fry is a different British person. But anyways, there's been an internal 40K thing specifically to make the events better. Not just in, like, a welcoming atmosphere, but there's also been, like, you know, crackdowns on, like, conduct when you're at events, you know, like, esportsman-like.
When you say events, you mean like conventions and like tournaments and
yeah, stuff. Conventions, tournaments, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, obviously, like if you have a big 40k thing, like Adepticon happened recently, and Adepticon has like one of the GW tournaments for playing the game. Like you win that, you're winning one of the super major tournaments. Like it's crazy to think about it, but there are people who treat like playing GW's game almost like it's a like a minor league to almost major league sport. Like people track, you know, like who's winning what lists are they taking. So there's been like a big push not to just like keep the competitive side alive, but also like if anybody goes to the events, you know, you want to make sure they have a good time. So there's, you know, there's been specific people who just have been contacting GW and working with them to be like, hey, here's some things that I noticed that are happening at these events that have to stop. So it's not it's not just progressive values. It's also like generally just we need to make the hobby better for everyone.
Yeah, it reminds That's me. Woke. I read there's like a recent news story about I don't know if it was like an official tournament or if it was just like some big like event for like Magic the Gathering over in Japan or something about that, or it might have been Yu-Gi-Oh. It was some card game tournament in Japan, and there was this woman who played the game. She was like an online content creator or something. I know, woman alert.
No, I know what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, and like the news story was like she left this convention early, and people were like, oh, were you being like mistreated? Were people like mean and abusive or something? It's like, no, I left because of the smell. These guys don't shower. It's like, yeah. Okay.
This is chemical warfare. Like that is how you win tournaments. You smell them out.
I've heard about this. I know in the case of Yu-Gi-Oh specifically, at some official tournaments, they've had to like encode it into the rules that you have to like pass a sniff test. You have to have like a certain level of hygiene. Because there were
this has got to be in Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Well, all right. I know there was something about like there was like this is going to be a bit rough because I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh since I was in like sixth grade or something. But there was like some like trap card or some magic card or something that was like, okay, you have to shake your opponent's hand and agree to like some rule that you'll both go to or something. And people in tournaments were playing that card, except they would like not shower. They would deliberately make themselves stink as awful as possible,
God.
So that people would not shake their hand. And then they would use that as like a mechanical advantage to like screw them over in the rules. So this led to like a whole thing about like,
the reason I didn't shower was to win the tournament. That's exactly
the fucking the stink meta.
that's what true. We that's insane dedication. I still say that people who, for at least Nurgle players, if they didn't shower before coming to the event, that's just playing fluffy. They're just engaging. They're engaging with the lore in a potentially negative way, but I can appreciate the commitment to the bit. But that is not what is happening for the majority.
I would honestly, like, I don't know. Obviously, it's nasty. It's disgusting. I wouldn't want to play with somebody like that. But at the same time, I almost kind of admire how, like, the commitment to the bit, like, how unhinged you have to be like, no, I'm not showering because I'm like gross and nasty. I'm doing this to win. This is like the strategy to beat my opponents. Or whatever.
This is really difficult for me because I love showering so much. I just care about this tournament even more.
I hope you understand. This is really difficult, and you know I didn't want to have to do this, but I gotta win.
Yeah, I didn't want to piss in a Gatorade bottle, but I did it just to completely. You know, I had to embody this type of gamer, who I totally am not.
I just really hate to do this, you know.
I will also mention, I don't know where this fits into our broader like narrative and the flow of the show here, but I just wanted to bring it up just as a like fun little factoid. It's really funny to me seeing the 40k nerds get like really like anal about like what is and isn't canon and how seriously to take things. When I know for a fact, apparently there's like a race of like mutant like cat girl humans called like felinids or something that I linked here. Mm-hmm. And like apparently this was made canon because some guy won like a Warhammer 40k tournament, and the prize was you got to decide something is canon in the franchise now. And
oh,
like
man.
Good choice. Shout out to my boy Carlos for representing all the trans femmes out there.
Yeah. And Carlos McConnell, you're representing Latinx people and the Irish, yes. My two favorite minority groups.
the official minorities of Super Despair World.
Yeah. Oh man, that's like my favorite shit about 40K though, is that GW as a company is just as the fact that now as a company they have to sort of be like legally aggressive against certain fan works, I do love that they still have this just like, we saw a fan doing this and now that's just canon. Like that is a yeah. tradition that has yeah. been in tabletop gaming since its inception, and I love that it still happens, because you can have an event that happens in 40K, and if you impress a GW dev so much with just a thing that you did, it will just exist somewhere. And
this is the most unshowered man I've ever seen in my life. I need to
Avatar of Nurgle, that is what you are.
Please come in here. Please come in here.
I have to draw you.
B.O. for the B.O. God.
Draw me like your French girls.
Speaking of drawing, I forgot to bring this up when we talked a little bit about like how these guys are weird about AI art. But another thing that's really funny to me is when they'll create something like this. Let me share this tweet with you guys. Where they tried to make some like AI generated, like, this is what woke 40K looks like. And it's like... like two,
it's like the hottest thing that you've ever seen.
Yeah,
yeah, like two good looking lesbians just like embracing yeah. each other in front of a
man,
flag.
That
and
she's got like
the power armor. It's like it reminds me of the meme that goes like, is this you? And then on their phone, it's like the most based thing ever.
Yeah. The YOLO Swag Studios one. Yeah, that's
yeah, exactly.
it's so usable in so many contexts.
Oh,
I was actually just thinking of the same thing when you posted that. Yeah, that is fucking perfect.
Meanwhile, yeah,
my God, wokeness has ruined not my boner, because that's.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I can't believe they made Warhammer woke now. Wow. Base.
You know, I was about to say, like, 50% of the chuds are looking at this like, this makes me so angry. I'm not going to take this image and be angry in the other room for a little bit.
This shit pisses me off. It's just like all the trans porn that I don't look at.
Oh, God.
Anyways, I got to go.
I've got things to do.
Don't look at my search history.
It's just some of these.
I still haven't figured out how to delete it.
Like, I don't know. Like I'm 30 years old, right? I grew up watching The Simpsons, and it's funny how like even to this day, it's like the stereotype of like the comic book guy still remains true, and like
it's
truly
yeah.
timeless. Like it's just like this is what these types of guys are, and it's like. I don't actually know what the end game of like quote unquote Chudhammer. They call themselves Chudhammer, like they actually self-identify as.
Yeah.
I don't know where
they are. They've co-opted that name.
That's, no, yes, they okay. created it. I could tell you so many stories about these people. It's
that's
so
incredible.
Bizarre.
That is incredible.
Like, it's like not only do they self-identify as Chudhammer, but it's really funny seeing these guys like go on Twitter and they have like an AI-generated profile picture of like themselves in like Space Marine armor, and they give themselves some like long-winded like Roman name, mm-hmm. and they'll do little like LARPy roleplay things as like we've got to push back the wokes, we have to unite with the warp demons and the evil Xenos to fight the wokes and bring down the hobby. And it's like. My dude, are you like 40 years old typing this out on Twitter? Like,
yeah. Meanwhile, it's a dude in a dingy basement on his fourth 2 liter of Mountain Dew Code Red, just like, yeah, I'm solving the issue of the Great Replacement right now on Twitter. Mom, shut up. No, I'm not coming up for dinner. I told you I'm busy. I'm working right now.
I think the real Great Replacement they should focus on is maybe like changing their clothes and taking a shower.
The Great Replacement is changing your socks and underwear more than once a week.
Unironically, exactly. Though, that is a few of them. The reason that I ended up becoming kind of sometimes at the center of all of this weirdness is that I did a public I don't even want to call it debate because it didn't end up really being that. It was just more of a conversation because I sort of just refused to engage with his bait after a while. So it just sort of mellowed out a little bit. But I talked to one of these guys very publicly on a stream. It even had a moderator so it could look legitimate to them. And we just had a conversation for a while, but the guy that I had talked to, he's like, I guess he's 45 now, but at the time he's some like 44 or something year old guy, a gay man. And he had some of the most bizarre opinions, kind of one of those like, stereotypical, I don't want to say self-hating, but like,
I'm one of the good ones types.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's like, I don't know how you can hold the positions that you do given the position that you're in.
I don't make it my entire personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drifting off the culture war, my entire personality.
It was exactly that. But it's so crazy, like how much
don't put it in your face, you know.
Oh no, he put it in. He put it in. Okay. In everybody. It was kind of weird. There were some weird comments specifically to me too, and that's why I say that. Like that's one of the things that all these people share is that they have personal problems. Like the very The very first non-Twitter conversation I had with this person, it was the Discord for this debate, and a lot of people were into it, and I had, like, a first, like, text back and forth with this guy. And the very first thing that he brings up is that... Oh, God, this is a weird thing to have to explain. But basically, long story short, because I was getting a lot of DMs from chasers on Discord, I put my profile picture, or like the bio picture for my profile on Discord. It's still there. It's a cropped image from an artist who does femboy porn. Uh-huh. And I was like, I know this artist is going to be a trap for the horniest motherfuckers. Like they just, they're not going to help themselves to comment for it. Could you guess what this man's first fucking thing he said to me was?
Hey, what up, girl? Hot PFP. What your feet smell like?
He was like, hey, nice to meet you. I recognize that image. I like Dross too. And I'm like, oh my God. This is how this goes. Yeah, I was like, and that became a big thing because like in that Discord I made a joke. It was like, oh my God, you are the first person to snag onto the Gooner bait. And he went on this big tirade on Twitter. He said he was gonna cancel the debate because I was being like bullying him or something, and I was like, you're the one being weird.
You self-reported, my guy.
Yeah, and there's like so many.
Cancel the debate. My penis hurts too bad.
There was so many really weird things that happened in that Discord that I wish I had saved. Later on, there was this really weird thing where like he was just an odd guy. He's a streamer. It's he goes by Marshall Bowman on Twitter. Go ahead and look at that if you want to see a strange.
You know what to do. No, I'm just kidding.
just a strange comedy horror show.
You know my thoughts on streamers as a former, soon to be again current streamer. So not to hate on you, Shay. But we know what streamers are like.
But this guy,
your mission is clear.
No, I wouldn't recommend interacting with this guy. But it was just so weird. Like there was one thing that he posted where he posted a video of himself reacting to a glitch that is, I don't think it's a thing in Cyberpunk 2077 anymore, but his character just didn't have pants, and he like went on to like a really, really awkward amount of time just having a character who was like, you know, it was like feminine body type, but they had a penis. And he's like, you know, obviously the implication is they're a trans woman. And I like made a joke about it. It's like, this is really creepy and awkward to watch. I don't know how many times I got so many replies. There was like, I hate to tell you, Shay, that looks like you. The character looks like you.
Oh no.
And I'm, wowzers.
And I'm like, no, please, no. So
mad that he modeled you in like a video game. Oh my god.
It's been such a weird one-sided thing because like, I'll make jokes about like how weird these people are because I think it's important to like at least do a little bit of combating their narrative and to be like, the biggest thing that I think is important and something that I want to do with at least this conversation is that I cannot express enough. The general community for 40K is not these people. You go to events, you go anywhere, these people are not there. And if they are, they're kicked out. It, like legitimately, I have been to multiple events at this point, and I have been waiting for that hammer to drop of somebody being like, oh, you're trans and being weird about it. But it has never happened. These are genuinely great people, and I love the enthusiasm that they have for the hobby. I don't know where these weird fuckers come from.
Yeah. There's always been this like as far as I've heard, I've always known about the 40K fandom and shit like that, and so just I've like, you know, I kind of just synthesize shit, but then there's like this like background narrative that it's like been co-opted by fascists or something like that, and it's like I never saw that personally, so I was kind of confused about that. Like, but I never assumed that was actually true. I'm sure there's like some people, just like in every fandom, there's weirdos.
Yeah.
But it never struck me that like, oh, you like 40K? Well, also join my Telegram group where we talk about. Where we talk about future plans for our people.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it reminds me of like one of there was a name I've seen floating around in this discourse lately, which I don't know if he's connected to it, but like I haven't heard about this guy in so many years. Are either of you familiar with some guy called the Golden One?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not.
The Golden One's only like claim to fame is like I think he was like the butt of a joke on like an H bomber guy or like ContraPoints video like 6 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Because he's this blonde, I think he's like Norwegian or something, I don't know. Some like Nordic country. And he's like this like bodybuilder guy. And like he tries to be like, oh, I'm the big fascist Chad guy. And this is this like video clip of him like playing Skyrim and attacking random NPCs, and he just goes, ha, take that, feminists. And it's like the most like sad, like pathetic thing. Like this is like a fully grown adult ass man. And like I saw his name like for the first time in like so many years, like something related to this discourse. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's just wild to me. These people try to present themselves as the face of the fandom, but like we know for a fact, like we can look at actual things that have happened, like Games Workshop telling Arch to take Warhammer out of his like online handle and stuff like that. Like these guys are not good for business. They don't make up a majority of the hobby. If anything, they're bad for business. They're not just like some negative crowd that you kind of have to pander to, like how, you know, like, you know, over in Japan, a lot of like anime and manga sales are kind of driven by like really weird, creepy incel guys or whatever.
Yeah,
but, like, no, in nerd hobbies like Warhammer or like D&D or something, like these guys are bad for business because they actively repel other potential customers. And whatever you think about like the cynicism of like rainbow capitalism or like people trying to or companies just trying to make as much money every quarter as they can, it's like these guys are just bad because like they want to reach as many people as possible, and like if these guys make up the bulk of your fan base, that sets a very hard cap on how big you can expect to grow, you know.
Well, yeah, so this might be a hot take, and I just fleshed this out in my mind like 3 seconds ago, so I might be a little bit off base, but so the whole thing with like gamers and hobbyists and TTRPG people, it's like especially if you're like a millennial or older, your interests have kind of always been on the fringes, right? So like they've kind of got used to this thing where like I got this like niche interest, and like me and my like cool my interest niche interest friends and like the people in the know about this, and in recent years things like TTRPGs and gaming in general and stuff like that has kind of reached the mainstream and kind of been more more accepted. So they can't really deal with that because it's always like, oh, this is my thing. And now Chad and Stacy are participating in that. So there has to be this kind of thing, this gatekeeping where it's like, oh, no, you're not allowed to like games.
Yeah.
No, it's just for me. It's for me, yeah, and my weird friends.
I've seen this is like a big narrative that I see where people are like, back in the 80s and 90s, I was bullied for being into my nerdy interests, and now all these other people want to kick me out of my own hobbies or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, like, I've always had like nerdy interests my entire life too, and you'd think that like reasonable, mature people can just like grow up and decide at some point like, oh, it was fucked up that I was like ostracized from popular groups, so I found like comfort in this like nerdy hobby space. Mm-hmm. So like, what right do I have to kick other people out of it too? You know, like, you would think that these spaces being like more diverse and welcoming to like other people who like, you know, are ostracized in their own ways. Like, everybody's got their own shit going on. Like, you think you would be happy for that, but no, you've got these guys who are like, still in like they're like 40s and 50s now, and they're going off about like, in the 80s I was bullied for being a D&D player or something. And I just listen to these guys.
It's gatekeeping. They want to feel like they went through this trial.
I just hear them go off about this, and I'm like, you are how old and you still get fucking worked up about shit in high school? Like,
exactly.
Within 2 or 3 years of me graduating high school, I didn't talk to any of those people anymore. I stopped giving a shit. I got over all my like awkward teenage blunder years, but I guess some people just go through life like carrying that burden, and it just manifests in like really sad, pathetic anger that we see in like this kind of kerfuffle, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was into nerdy shit, fucking video games and RPGs and all this shit since I was a kid. I think the mainstream adoption of that, like, that's cool to me. I like it. I think it's fucking great. Like, yeah, it's cool. Now, like, people don't have to be ashamed of their interests if they want to, like, hang out with regular, like, they can introduce it to people and just be like, hey, you know, celebrity A, B, and C play this game. It's not just some like lame nerd hobby. Like, you can do this and also be into sports and whatever the fuck.
I'm
like,
glad that more people than ever play D&D because it decreases my odds of playing the game with somebody who's going to ask me what my character's skull measurements are, you know?
Oh,
true.
God.
True, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it makes it more likely that you can play with normal ass people who are going to have a good time and start being like, actually, on the according to the lore, wizards in the realm of Draconis
I'll just bring up one. This is the last like image or something I'll share. This is just like a goofy meme that I saw these guys made. It references the first they came for the so-and-so thing, and it's like,
oh no,
first they came for Harry
Potter.
Oh, and
there's the Doge.
If there's the Doge, so they came for Harry Potter, and then Star Wars, and then D&D, and now Warhammer, and it's like,
oh,
one, for one,
you're literally a Jew in the Holocaust. You are literally,
yeah
like, you are like, literally Anne Frank right now.
Women in your hobby are your personal Holocaust. Yeah, sure, guy.
Let's look past how fucked up it is to like invoke like a poem about the Holocaust in your like goofy nerd hobby.
Yeah.
And like, for one, all of these franchises are doing fucking fine, even the ones that I wish weren't. Like, I think Harry Potter sucks ass. Oh, but you know what? It does money. It pulls in the money. People still want to buy it. Whatever. That's out of my control. Whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I legit can't think of a scenario where some like hobby or franchise or IP or something has been like co-opted by the wokies and now it just like doesn't exist anymore. Like, in my own hobby, like, D&D is literally the most popular it's ever been now. Like, maybe it's been less so in the past year or two because of some controversies, but you know, it's like, I don't know, D&D is like the queer theater kid game now, as much as I would like it not to be, but
it's like, tabletop games aren't niche anymore, they're beer and pretzels now. Like, So many like me and my boyfriend, we're really into tabletop gaming stuff. There's a lot of projects that we're working on. This is something that we want to try to pursue professionally at some point. But like, you know, that's our like hyperfixation. But we'll go to like some of his friends and others that like aren't really into it, and like maybe they played a little bit of D&D here and there for a laugh. But they'll like come over and we'll play like we'll play oh god, what's the game? 10 Candles. And it looks like a fucking cult scene, you know, because you have to turn off all the lights. Your table just has like 10 candles, and it's like we're going to play.
Not familiar with that okay. But just from the name alone, I'm like, okay, this would like incite some satanic panic bullshit.
This is such a one-off kind of thing,
or
In the 80s and 90s, like the goth LARP scene is basically the reason why Vampire the Masquerade is still like played to this day.
Oh yeah, right?
That game was supported by the LARPers.
But like, you know, we played this game and sorry, like 10 Candles is just this it's you play it in one night and it's a horror game, and the whole premise is there's no like real dice math and stuff you do. You can play it in like you can finish a whole arc of it in one session, and it's just like, hey, the world is ending, play that out. And it's mostly done through narrative, so you know, like you go around, each person decides what they want to do, and if you fail, a candle goes out and you're getting closer and closer to the end until
it was so great. I'm looking this game up right now. It looks very interesting.
But like we got a bunch of people together, and a lot of them were people who like don't do a whole lot of tabletop stuff, or maybe they do it like kind of on the side. They're like they're not super invested, it's not their main hobby, but they'll come over and they love it. I think
there's a fundamental like people like this, that it's just when you're like okay, you need to get your character sheet and how good are you at calculus?
Are you on
Google Sheets right now? I need to go home.
Here's the thing about all these hobbies becoming more accessible, right? Like I look at something like if you're playing the actual war game for like Warhammer 40K, or if like if you want to get into like Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition, it can be kind of daunting. Like there's a lot of rules, mm-hmm. there's a lot of like stuff to buy, but you know, like I'm grateful for the people who are like more tangential to the media that make it a little more accessible, right? Like maybe somebody got into 40K because they bought like one of the video games so you can just like pick up and immediately figure out. Or mm-hmm. maybe somebody got into tabletop games because they watched like Critical Role or something, and I know
that they're mostly
like D&D people, but you know, some of them maybe will look into like other tabletop games and they'll realize like, oh, there's like a whole world of ones that are like, oh, all the rules are on like one page and I could mm-hmm. figure this out in like 10 minutes, you know? So you know, I'm grateful that all this stuff exists. But not to railroad us too hard, but I thought it's around time to like wind down the show a little bit. So I thought we'd kind of end on like a bit of a positive note. I just wanted to talk a little bit about like what can we do to like make these like fandom spaces better, and just like how do we deal with the presence of all these like weird nerds and like just like projecting to people that this is not, that these guys are not what the hobby are about, right? That these guys don't fucking play Warhammer, you know?
Well, I mean, I've been saying for a while, I know we want to wind down, so I don't really like want to go into like a history lesson here.
If you got something good, I don't mind.
It's just like
speak your truth, baby. Queen. Speak your truth.
Well, no, it's like since I've gotten into 40K as a hobby, my primary response that I've gotten out of it has been negative, and it's been like, I mean, like these weirdos knew my name since January of 2023, and it has not stopped. Like I have so many things saved that I could show you, thousands upon thousands of harassment stuff, DMs that I get, the reason my Discord is still locked down, the reason why my family has a relationship with their local police department because I've been doxxed over this shit. These people are wild. So I've had to deal with this a whole lot. It's kind of weird. I've been saying for a really long time that GW needs to do a little bit something a little bit more heavy-handed than a message that they put out a long time ago, where they set out. It's a very famous public announcement that they did to the whole community, called Warhammer is for Everybody, and they basically lined out, you know, essentially a TOS where it's like, hey, if you are like this, we don't want your money. Please stop coming to our events and buying our stuff. We don't care anymore. Because it became so bad, and I was hoping that, you know, there would be some more material actions, but, you know, there's already these things that happen at events where these type of people are kicked out if they, you know, express their opinions. And it doesn't matter, like, somebody can be an asshole, but if they come to an event and they're not an asshole, then material, that affects nobody, right? But that already a lot of the stuff has already been done, and I think this is just another one of the things that GW has done to put more nails in that coffin of, you know, distancing these people from the actual hobby. Like, again, they don't engage with it in any meaningful way. They're a loud voice on Twitter. That's their main thing. And you can tell the reason why they're so upset about this is because they're still, like, I hate to, like, frame it in, like, terms you'd use for a war, like they're losing ground, but in their minds, that's what's happening. That's why they're so angry, when in reality they could just decide that this thing that they made up doesn't matter, and they can just have a good time with other human beings. I think if that's one thing that we could probably do, is that we could try to do a little bit more. I mean, it's nobody's job to put up with their bullshit, but, like, giving people an alternative, because, like, you know, I wasn't always the person that I am now. I mean, like, you go back to when I was an idiot kid or whatever. I probably said the same shit that these people did, or maybe less extreme. But that was because, you know, like, a number of ways. Like, the thing that I was dealing with, in the same way that all of these people reach for these things because they have problems, is that maybe I didn't know how to come out or some shit. But, like, yeah. But I've been in their shoes, right? You know, like, I used to watch, like, Arch's lore videos before, like, after watching a few of them, I'm like, I don't like this guy. He's got bad vibes. And I don't like this weird, like, anti-SJW thing he is. Like, I don't know why this is a problem. So I'd, like, come away from these people. I think the one thing that is missing is that there needs to be an alternative to these people. That you can present to them, because the reason they get so invested into these things, and the reason why they frame it like a war and that they're losing something, is because they put their identity into this. Like, they have some sort of problem that's going on in real life, and they do a thing that, like, many people do. Like, they reach for escapism. Is it always healthy? No, but if we can kind of drive this towards a way that we can help them, because we're already doing the hardline stuff, like, for the people that cross the line, they're already getting kicked out of these spaces. They're not part of the hobby anymore. But if we can basically take these people who get so invested that, like, the reason that they're very interested in the lore isn't always, like, you know, you can tell the people who use it as a, like, a thing to bludgeon people with. But there are some who, like, do care about it, but they care about it probably a little too much, because there's something going on, like, And that requires, like, so many things to change in society. But I've also seen so many people, like, who are asshole chuds, but they still have that very genuine, like, I love this because it's an outlet for me. And I wish that we could save those people, because there's something salvageable there. I think that's the only thing we can do now is we've already kept them out of harming people within the hobby. Like, obviously they're still prevalent online, they still do that, and that's very difficult. Elon's Twitter is going to be rough for that, but a lot of the material stuff that we can do to keep them from harming has been done. I think now we need to try to change the space to try to rescue as many of these people who are disillusioned as possible, happen.
Mic drop, like, yeah, very, very well said. Like, I think you kind of nailed all of the things that we've been talking about. Is, like, yeah, there are people who I think are, like, too far gone. Not that they can't be saved, but that's going to be a real slog. But I think there's people who are just kind of, like, they're kind of rudderless, and it's just like, yeah, okay, like It's fun to fuck with chuds on Twitter, but like, don't be an asshole. like I think there are a lot of people who are just like, hey, I like games, but now I'm like pissed off about something. Like, I don't really understand. It's just like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me. Like, we can
don't
have
just,
a little
don't
bit
just
of a dialogue.
Talk to Dave, but write him an email
yes.
at farstriderfm at superdespairworld.com.
No, it's Dave at superdespairworld.com.
Oh, right. Okay, that's what
I have a farstriderfm@gmail.com. You could email that too.
Maybe I will talk to the episode descriptions.
Yeah, I will literally have like a straight up one-on-one talk session with anybody who feels like they're on the verge of becoming like a chud. I will talk to you, and if after we talk for an hour you still want to become a chud, then that's an L on my part. But I will talk mm-hmm. if you feel lost.
At that point, we have to kill you, but we will talk to you. We'll give it an honest effort.
Yeah, I hate to invoke his name, but we kind of have to come at it with the energy of, like, General Mattis, where it's like, I come to you with tears in my eyes. Don't make me fucking kill you.
I feel about the rights and wrongs, mostly wrongs, of like the United States military. Mattis has some very, he's an interesting character.
He's a quotable man. That's the only good thing I can say, is that he's very quotable.
Yeah. I want to say, first of all, that the whole thing you went off on, that's really, really well said, and kind of took the words out of my mouth, a lot of things I was going to say. I really appreciate that you draw a distinction between, like, material things, like things that, like, Games Workshop, they can do that, like, affects the real world, mm-hmm. Versus more like ephemeral, like, online, like, discourse things, how we talk about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's this hard line to walk where, like, yes, I want to be open to people who are like genuinely like who want to like improve and get better about these things, because I know for a lot of people it might be that like they're just kind of chuddy and kind of like right wing and like maybe a bit of an edgelord or something, because like maybe that's just the only friend group that they know, the only people that that they've ever hung out with, and they just like don't have any other outlet to like change and be different or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously our show is still like very small, like hopefully it grows, but who knows, like we're at the time
hopefully.
Of recording we have like 100 subscribers, but not to like with respect to people's privacy, we have had one or two people who have self-identified as like relatively like, hey, I'm kind of like a right-wing kind of guy, but I like the cut of your jib or whatever. So I like to think that, you know, I like to think that talking about this stuff does matter. And, you know, as much fun as it is to like own the chuds or whatever, like we all like to get our licks and we like to, you know, throw some punches where, you know, that's just how life goes. But, I think, you know, the way we talk about this stuff does matter, and I do think we can reach some people, but like we have to come to that middle ground. Like if I'm willing to like welcome you into the space and hang out with you and like shoot the shit together or whatever, you have to do the bare minimum of like, I don't know, don't say slurs and like take a shower or something. I don't know what else you want.
It's as Breyer said, like with people who tried to come into the Discord with like straight up like hate symbols and their PFP and shit. It's like we welcome everybody in there, but you gotta pass a dress code. If your bio is like most racist person on Discord, like you can't get in. You can't walk in the door.
There was one guy who did that, and I'm like, this might be ironic, but it's like, dude, you can't come in here dressed like
we're
not gonna name names, but like he left like a really nice sincere YouTube comment too, and I was like, man, I feel bad about this, but like you gotta clean up your shit, man.
It's just not a good look, man.
If you have to make a new Discord account to like turn over a new leaf or something, that's, you know, sorry, that's what you gotta do. Like we gotta not shit where we eat. That's
maybe just don't come out of the gate with that kind of energy, man. If you have some spicy takes, we can entertain them. I'll probably shut them down, But like, don't how just that, come in here with, yeah.
How does that one tweet go? That's something like, I want you to read what you just posted out to somebody that you know in real life and see how they react.
Right. Exactly. It's the same type of shit. It's like, dude, you can tell when somebody's entire persona online is from like 14 hours of a 4chan posting a day. It's just like, dude, no. Like you're probably fundamentally at your core an okay person. It's just like you just need to chill out.
Yeah, you don't know what you're doing here, do you?
Yeah. You're consuming like really fucking gross shit all day, and it's kind of fucking you up.
I'm sure that fucking Commander Pepe 1488 is a nice guy in real life, and he really loves his pet cat or something. But
don't ask him what the cat's named. Don't ask him what the cat's named.
Okay, that wasn't the guy's name. I just made that up, but
yeah,
whatever. I don't know. I think we've had a good convo here today. I think it's time to wrap up. Shay, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much for coming
Shay,
on.
Shay, you fucking rule.
Hell yeah. How about you tell our audience where they can find you on the internet?
I think my main Twitter is still simply Shay13 on Twitter. That's most of what I do as an online presence. I have a YouTube channel that is linked to that account as well. I also do a live actual play show for tabletop RPGs, because as much as I fucking love war games now, that's kind of my jam, is more narrative stuff. You will find me every Thursday. Right now, we're going to be adding more games, but every Thursday you will find me and my closest friends trying to make ourselves into wish.com Critical Role for your enjoyment. And
oh, fuck yeah. Well, you know what? Wednesday or Thursday, we're kind of a little loose about it. That's usually when this show goes up every week as well. So that lines up really nicely. You've been a great guest. And you know what? Tabletop games, that's much more my wheelhouse as well. So, you know what? We would love to bring you back on in the future. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Wizards of the Coast does some like stupid, heinous bullshit we'll have to talk about.
Yeah. That's kind of their thing.
They're all gonna go woke eventually, so we'll have to revisit this topic a bunch of times.
Yeah, we're gonna find a way to make tieflings even gayer somehow.
Oh god, good luck.
Yeah, all right. Okay, cool. I guess just wrapping up business, Dave, how about we shout out the patrons real quick?
Oh, the fucking patrons again?
Yeah, right. Let's pull up the list.
Those people who drink the danger water.
I got the list. I got the list. They drink the danger water.
They live close to the 5G towers. They drink the tap water. They buy the merch.
for only a sinister $6 per month, you could be slowly feminized with the anonymous packet of dust that we tell you to put into your...
Was the vaccination not enough for you? Well, do we have an alternative?
we're trying to boost it. We're trying to boost it. Just like these wonderful Patreons. Patrons? Patreon patrons.
Patrones.
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 wait, what's the word of the 40K? Custodes?
Custodes? The Adeptus Patronies.
Yes.
The Patronies, the Patrones.
The few, the brave.
All right, anyways, we got, going down the list, we got Weasel, our sweet baby Weasel.
Hell yeah.
We got Walker, an OG and true friend of mine. We got Clam. Hard shout out. The channel botanist. We got Trash Bins.
Original friend of the show.
Original friend of the show and our first guest. And yes. Shay is the second guest. So
now one of two.
Then we got the mysterious Nick. I know his last name, but you don't.
We know everything about you, Nick.
Less mysterious, Nick.
Well, not mysterious to us, but
yeah.
We'll respect people's privacy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we got Protagon, who smells like the sweet scent of lavender.
Protagon has never been kicked out of a Warhammer tournament.
No.
Does not show butt crack at all. Unless. We'll need photographic proof. And then fucking Shalom guy, an absolute, I would say like a Shalom guy is like the lore head of the show, always with a fantastic review of every episode.
Yeah, Shalom guy, you're great. We love the convos, the back and forths we have with you in the Discord, which anybody can join the Discord now. Come check it out. Come hang out with us. Come put on the maid dress and cat ears and yes, power armor.
Ooh, maid dress, cat ears, and power armor? Sign me the fuck.
That exists.
One of these days, I will show you the folder I have of space marines wearing like maid outfits. This is not an original idea. Many people have done this.
I mean, Warhammer's been around, 40K has been around since the 80s, so there's probably every iteration of degenerate fetishes.
I'm disappointed we didn't even get the opportunity to talk about one of my favorite artists who does all the femboy Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yes.
We know who we're talking about.
I had a fun chance to talk to, I think they go by he, him. So if I'm wrong about that, then I apologize to them. But I actually got a chance to talk to him about something that he made, and it was really cool.
Oh, that fucking rules. Okay, cool. There's now 1 degree of separation between me and Archon. Shout out Archon. We love your stuff. Sucks that you got all that harassment. You don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Great art. All right. Either way, I think, yeah, that's a wrap for today. Once again, Shay, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you so much,
Shay,
for coming on.
This fucking rocked.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Fantastic guest. Yeah, we're gonna get you on again at some point,
hopefully.
And well, stay alive.
Yeah, so
until
I learned about you because I saw you out there in the trenches on the front lines fighting the good fight against the filthy Xenos. By which I mean,
if there is if there's one thing I'm known for, it's being a shitster, and I kind of wear that with pride.
You're very good at it, and I will say, you know, I found you because of the Warhammer thing, but you know, it is now new knowledge to me that you're also into tabletop games, and you know, that's my wheelhouse. So
I would love
to pick your brain about that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Fuck yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a wrap for today. We went a bit long, but you know what? I think our listeners deserve a nice long episode every now and then, especially with a wonderful guest. So thank you guys very much for listening. We will catch you next time.
Yeah, we love you, listeners.
Dave, anyways, don't end it on a weird note like that. Come on, Dave. Come on.
I want to feel a certain type of way. They don't get enough love in their normal lives.
Aura, fellow viewers.
I'm trying to hypnotize them.
Okay. All right. Well. All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Anyways, yeah. Fuck yeah. Good fight. Good night.